live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hey guys, you've heard of the Young Turks podcast because you're listening to it right now. But make sure that you subscribe and give it a 5-star rating if you like it. Thank you for listening. All right, welcome to the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur and Anna Kasparian with you guys. Big show ahead. Come on, guys, we have fun, man. We're gonna rip into a lot of people, which is what we do, which is fun. But we're also going to rationally explain all the different issues. And what I really love is when people come up to me, no matter where I am, anywhere in the country or in the world, and they have different reasons for liking the show. You guys have a lot of fun. It's funny.
I really like Anna. She's great.
And mainly how funny you are, Cenk. Not a big deal. Okay, how passionate you are, I said. But all of that is in this stew, okay? And so we've got important, dangerous stuff that Donald Trump is doing. We've got important progressive fights. And Daryl Issa walks out on Emma Vigeland. So that's a super fun story. We'll take on Ben Shapiro in a minute. And then in the third hour of the Young Turks, Mike Gravel is going to be on. And he's going to do the conversation with us. The whole half hour will be spent with Mike Gravel running for president. He'll be, our ninth presidential candidate that will be coming on to the Young Turks. So we got a great, great show ahead for you guys. If you miss any part of the show, you can always become a member and at tyt.com/join and get all of our programming anytime you want. All right, Anna, let's do it.
All right. Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp has officially signed into law one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. Now, this is referred to as a fetal heartbeat law and a heartbeat law, and it is not the first state that has passed this. And the whole point is to go through the courts and hopefully end up in the Supreme Court, where of course there is a conservative slant among the judges, and essentially completely shut down Roe v. Wade, reverse Roe v. Wade. So let me give you the details. The Georgia law, which would take effect in 2020, prohibits most abortions once doctors can discern a fetal heartbeat, a milestone that occurs before some women, most women, know they are pregnant. In practice, the limit on abortion in Georgia will now be 6 weeks of pregnancy instead of 20. So let me just note that previously, all of these red states under the Obama administration were trying to pass these abortion bans past 20 weeks. And the way that they did it made it seem as though they were being reasonable. Look at 20 weeks, look at how developed the fetus is. And they would sway even people on the left. But everyone who was paying close attention knew that that was just a facade, or that was just an avenue in which they would further restrict abortion to the point where it would be illegal. And that's exactly what they're trying to do here. Now, exemptions are allowed according to this law to prevent death or serious harm to the woman, and in cases of rape or incest in which a police report has been filed. So if you are the victim of rape or incest and you get pregnant as a result of that, you are not allowed to get an abortion unless you went to the police and you filed a police report on it.
Mm-hmm. So Alabama has gone further, or is trying to go further. It's in debates right now. In one of their legislative chambers, they do not make an exception for rape or incest. So if you have been raped, the Sharia law in Alabama could be that because of someone else's religion, you must carry your rapist child to term. And in that case, there is no 6 weeks, there is no nothing. Mm-hmm. It just simply outlaws abortion.
Can I actually talk about what happened in Alabama when it came to that legislation? They were actually supposed to vote on that today. And the reason why they decided to table it is because some of those state lawmakers fought back, and they did so aggressively. Mm-hmm. So I just want to, you know, spread the word that fighting back works. It works, and it certainly worked here. Now, of course, they're going to reintroduce the legislation next week, but you've got to keep fighting, because if you don't fight, then they're going to get everything they want. We know how the right wing works. They're relentless, and it's about time that the left wing is just as relentless, if not more, especially when it comes to protecting reproductive freedoms.
Two more things about Alabama. They're not playing when they say make it illegal. They say the doctor who performs an abortion would get 99 years in prison, a life sentence. Okay, they say that the abortion is illegal as soon as it is the fetus is in utero. In other words, all abortions, obviously. There are no abortions that aren't in utero. But the reason that they had the fight was actually somewhat of a procedural one, but one that makes a lot of sense. Because the Republicans tried to pass it on a voice vote. They're like, all in favor, aye, okay, good enough, let's pass it, right? And the Democrats said, no, we want to get everybody on the record. Mm-hmm. Now, why? In the state of Alabama, you would think that the anti-abortion position would be popular, and that the Republicans would be proud to be on the record as ending abortion, but they don't want to do that. You want to know why? Now, this is not specific to Alabama, it's for the whole country. Let's go to graphic 40. 71% of Americans, including, and this is a little shocking, 50% of Republicans oppose overturning Roe versus Wade. So the great majority of the country is on our side. They think that Roe versus Wade should be the law of the land.
Mm-hmm. And let me note one other thing about that type of statistic, because what you'll hear from the right wing over and over again is, no, polling indicates that the vast majority of Americans are pro-life. Look, but we know that framing is everything. So everyone wants to consider themselves pro-life. The way you frame it is, do you agree with keeping abortion legal under the definition of, you know, Roe v. Wade? And they don't ever talk about that. They don't talk about how certain polls are specifically framed in a way to make people seem like they're against abortions, period. That is not the case. Everyone wants to consider themselves pro-life, but most Americans want to ensure that they protect reproductive rights.
I actually have never seen a poll where the pro-life position won. So I don't know what anybody's referencing when they say that. Even with the most advantageous framing you could possibly find, it never wins in a poll. Okay, so since most Americans are pro-choice, 7 out of 10, not even close. Even the Republicans in Alabama don't want to go on the record as actually doing it. So are you in favor of it or are you not? Are you proud of it or are you not? I thought you ran all of your campaigns on this. Now, you know what those Republicans in Alabama understand? That if they are successful and they actually outlaw abortion, there's gonna be enormous blowback. And this goes to the problem with Democratic and independent voters. They just believe that they're, because of what television tells them, that Republicans and Democrats are the same thing. On some issues, when it comes to corporate matters, it's true. And it comes to favoring the tax, it's true. But on issues like abortion, they're not remotely the same thing. Not at all. That's a total lie. If you vote for a Republican, they will try to take away your liberty. And that is what it is. They will have big government impose Sharia law and tell you what to do with your body, not based on your beliefs, not based on your religion or your interpretation of your religion, but based on their interpretation of their religion. That is Sharia law. It happens to be fundamentalist Christian Sharia law, but Sharia law anyway. That is what Republicans believe. If you don't believe them, put them in office, see what happens. You think it's just Alabama and Georgia? First of all, Georgia is now a purple state. If they didn't do voter suppression, it would have a Democratic governor and would not pass this law. Stacey Abrams would have vetoed this law. So they barely won in Georgia. Ohio passed the same law. So if you vote for a Republican, understand you're giving away your freedom. If you're a woman, They're gonna tell you what you can and cannot do with your body. They're gonna have big government come in and put in religious law that dictates what to do with your body. It is not remotely an exaggeration. That is a stone cold fact. If you like that and you like being guided by somebody else's religion and you don't want control over your body, then all right, vote Republicans. If you don't, you should vote them all out of office.
So I want to go to Governor Kemp from Georgia. He had a signing ceremony for this legislation, and I found what he had to say during the ceremony fascinating. Let's take a look.
We must protect life at all stages. We must remember our higher calling, and we must remember to work in the days, months, and years ahead.
So he says we have to protect life at all stages. But if you look at simple statistics in the state of Georgia, it's abundantly clear that the lawmakers there do not actually care about life in all stages. In fact, Georgia is not doing well at all when it comes to the economic situation for a lot of people, including children. And I'm not talking about zygotes, I'm not talking about fetuses, I'm talking about children, living, breathing children that Republicans always turn their backs on because they don't have the ability to control women once the children are born. So let me give you the details on that. Let's go to graphic 6. So let's take a look at their poverty statistics. So 14.9% of Georgia's overall community or residents are below the poverty line, okay? When it comes to children, that statistic goes up to 20.7%. 20.7% of children are living in poverty in the state of Georgia. Is Kemp concerned about that? Are the right-wing lawmakers spending any time trying to alleviate the pain that these people are feeling? No, they're much more concerned about what's happening in a woman's uterus. Let me give you some more details.
And to be fair, he did throw some bootstraps at the one-year-olds. Oh, you're out of the uterus now, don't care, here's some bootstraps. You got good health, you don't have good health, your mom might die in childbirth. Those are healthcare issues, don't care, your life, don't care. All I care about is, what are you gonna do with your body? You must follow my religion, and you must do as I tell you. That's not America. You hate America if you believe that. You wanna be pro-life? You wanna say, hey, listen, to me, it is life. That's my interpretation of my faith. Have at it, Hoss. We don't disagree with that. Then you make those decisions for yourself, but not for the rest of us. That is un-American.
More details. The teen birth rate in Georgia was already high. So for instance, in Georgia, there is a birth rate of 23.6 babies per 1,000 girls. That's in 2016. Again, these are teenagers, ages 15 to 18. In Massachusetts, it's 8.5 per 1,000 girls in 2016. And I included Massachusetts to juxtapose just how bad it already was in the state of Georgia. So are there any, you know, educational programs in the state to do other than abstinence only education to prevent teen pregnancies, right? Because if you care about abortion so much, wouldn't it make more sense to educate the youth there to provide resources to prevent unwanted pregnancies? That way abortions don't happen.
I know, Anna, but Ayatollah Kemp's Sharia law says that you also cannot decide what to do with your body when you are trying to, when you're making decisions about who you're going to love, who you're going to sleep with, any kind of activity you might have. You don't get to make those decisions. Ayatollah Kemp makes those decisions for you. So you want education so you don't get accidentally become a mom when you're a teenager or pregnant when you're a teenager and have to face those incredibly difficult decisions? Don't care, we're gonna make sure you do not get that information. That is why, ironically, there's more abortions in Georgia, not less. It turns out ignorance is not a good solution.
Exactly, and again, Kemp argues that we need to protect life of all ages. Well, 27.2% of people living in Georgia did not have health insurance in 2017. Yep, we're really great at protecting life in Georgia, aren't we?
30,000 people a year die because they don't have health insurance. 30,000, that's 10 9/11s every single year. But Republicans like Ayatollah Kemp say, I don't care if you die in the streets. As long as a private company is not making profit off of it, I don't care, go die, okay? And then turns around and says, no, I'm pro-life. Why? Because I'm gonna tell a woman who she can sleep with, when she can sleep with them, and what happens to her body afterwards. That's who Ayatollah Kemp is, and all these people on the right wing who favor a big government controlling our bodies.
And I'm bringing up all of these statistics because these are issues that actually impact living, breathing human beings that the right wing in America pretends to care about when they're looking to get elected, but do nothing about. In fact, only push for counterproductive measures that make it increasingly difficult for average Americans to live above the poverty line. I'm talking about people who are working full-time jobs, but then you have Republicans working to keep the minimum wage as low as humanly possible, so their full-time jobs don't even pay enough for them to get by or feed their children. In fact, 13% of households in Georgia were food insecure on average from 2015 to 2016. So why aren't the lawmakers in Georgia doing something about that? Why? I'd like to know. Because if you care about life, this is impacting people's lives every single day in your state.
And as I've told you numerous times, Numbers 5:20 through 22 in the Bible shows you that God is in favor of abortion, not neutral to it, in favor of abortion. So read your Bible, Ayatollah Kemp, if you're gonna go around enforcing your Bible on other people, you should at least read it and know what's in it, because you're wrong about that as well. So if you don't want religious law in America, don't vote for Republicans, because they do not agree. They will try to enforce their interpretation of their religion on all of us. It is the single most un-American thing you could do.
So let's move on to a different angle to this story. Following news that Georgia's governor, Brian Kemp, had signed a law or legislation into law that would ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, Representative Ocasio-Cortez tweeted about how that only takes 6 weeks. Within 6 weeks, a fetal heartbeat is detectable. And that's an issue because most women don't even know that they're pregnant until a little later than that. So here's what she tweets. 6 weeks pregnant equals 2 weeks late on your period. And then she writes, most of the men writing these bills don't know the first thing about a woman's body outside of the things they want from it. It's relatively common for a woman to have a late period plus not be pregnant. So this is a backdoor ban. And that's exactly what this is. This is a backdoor ban. Well, fast talking, nonsensical Ben Shapiro was offended by this. And here's what he had to say.
So you've got Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez tweeting out, 6 weeks pregnant equals 2 weeks late on your period. Well, if you consider a pregnancy the equivalent, the moral equivalent of just being late on your period, I have something called science to show you. It's a part of her body. It's not an independent human life. And this is just absurd. It's just absurd.
Okay.
So, we were late in getting B-roll, but we just decided to use that because we had it in our database. So.
Okay. So.
That made no sense. I'm sorry. I know I'm interrupting you, but she said nothing about moral equivalent. Nothing. She's making a point about how most women have irregular periods. They don't even know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks.
So here's the one thing I'll give Ben Shapiro credit for. He knows how dumb right wingers are. So he just has to say the opposite of something, and they're not going to look into it. She actually makes a scientific observation. 6 weeks into a pregnancy, a lot of women don't even know that they're pregnant yet because they've got to miss their first period, which is in 4 weeks. So that's a fact about our nature that is grounded in science. So Shapiro knows that, but he turns around and goes, that's nonsensical. And let me tell you something about science. You should listen to my morality. What? That doesn't have anything to do with science. And no, I don't have to listen to your morality, Ayatollah Shapiro. Okay? And so, but since right wingers are stupid, they're like, oh, good point. Science is all about my values and morality. That's why I should enforce my religion upon other people for small government. What? Right?
Yeah.
If he talks fast enough, they can't keep up. And so they mistake that for intelligence when it makes no sense at all.
And look, it's not just the right wing. I mean, I've seen people of.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All political affiliations falling for it. And I get it. When you speak with conviction and you speak quickly, it's very easy to pull a fast one on people. But just pay attention to the content of what he's saying. I mean, first of all, he's making it appear as if AOC is saying something that she's not. She didn't mention anything about morality. She's making a point about how this is a backdoor ban on abortion, which clearly it is. Secondly, I just want to note that the right-wing solution to doing away with reproductive rights is, well, just don't have sex until you're ready to have a baby. Just don't have sex until you get married. And Shapiro had bragged on Twitter recently about how he was a virgin until he was married, and that he was outraged and angry at anyone who would mock him. It's one of the worst things in the world to mock someone who decides to save themselves from marriage. So let me just say, if you decide to do that, that's your body, right? So if you want to stay a virgin until you're married, do you, boo, right?
But you don't. In fact, literally.
But you don't get. But you don't get to go around and decide how other people conduct their business, if you know what I mean. People are getting married in like their mid-30s these days because they want to establish their careers, because the economy is so incredibly difficult for younger people and the millennial generation that they have to work even longer to build financial stability to have a family, right? So what are you suggesting, that people should remain virgins until they're 35? And if they don't, then there's something morally wrong with them?
That's exactly what he's suggesting. That's right.
He's a freak. Yeah. He just is. I mean, again, I'm gonna go back to the op-ed he recently wrote about how pornography is like the worst thing, and that
he
it's
wrote
ruining
a whole book
society.
About it.
That's right. He did write a book about it.
Okay. No, guys. First of all, really, the guys who follow Ben Shapiro, none of you watch porn online?
Come on.
Okay, that is not remotely true, okay? And second of all, you guys are all proud of being virgins? Because I thought you were all super frustrated. Oh, well, these alpha males are taking all of our.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Our women, and we're so mad, and the women shouldn't be forced to have sex with us like Jordan Peterson says. It should be forced monogamy.
Socialism on for sex, as even Joe Rogan pointed out. So none of you actually believe that crap. And then let's go to the core of this issue. Now, you want to move from science, which of course Ben Shapiro and the others have no expertise in whatsoever. You want to move to the issue of morality. Well, Ayatollah Shapiro, I have no interest in your interpretation of your religion. I'm not in your religion. I don't care. Oh, but my religion says this. All right, have at it, Hoss. Go stew in some corner like, I'm not gonna have sex, I'm not gonna have sex. Okay, good. I don't care, it's a free country. I really, really don't care, right? But if you tell the rest of us, no, you're not allowed to have sex until you're married. What? What? Ayatollah Shapiro, why would I care what you think, right? That's not what America is about. You wanna move to Iran, you wanna move to Saudi Arabia, have at it, Hoss. But that's not what we do here. And then, you had sex, and now you're pregnant. Well, now I'm going to tell you what to do with your body. Not interested.
Right.
I don't. But my religion says this: take your religion and take a long walk off a short dock. I don't care what your religion says. I'm not in your religion. Millions upon tens of millions, hundreds of millions of Americans are not in your religion. Mm-hmm. So why would we care what your interpretation of really, in fact, most of the people in your religion don't even agree with you and your interpretation.
You know
but
what?
No, Ayatollah Shapiro must rule us all and tell us what to do with our body. Well,
no.
Hilariously and ironically, telling us he's for small government.
You know what? I have just established a religion. It's called the Religion of Anna Kasparian. And it notes that it is immoral to be a male in this country without a six pack. So all of these beer belly people out there who do not have a six pack, you're going against my religion. And so I am gonna lobby lawmakers to push and force my religion down your throat. Look, I get it. For some, and I would argue that it is a very small minority of religious people, think that it is life at the moment of conception and they're genuine and sincere about it. But the vast majority of lawmakers who push for this type of legislation do it for brownie points among evangelical voters, or they do it because they hate the fact that they're unable to control women the way that they used to. They hate it because being in control of your reproductive fate or future is economic freedom for a lot of women. It is the ability to establish yourself, establish your career, have real financial independence, and then make that decision when it's right for you. And men, some men, hate that. And that's what's really going on behind the scenes.
Okay, so first of all, let's note for the record that I'm in big trouble in Anna Kasparian's religion. it's a good thing we don't have religion to rule us all in America. You should read the United States Constitution. Or if I want right wingers to believe it, I'll say, you should read the United States Constitution. Okay. It does separate church and religion. Ben Shapiro should look into it. But look, one last thing about that. I was going to go back to numbers, but you guys have heard me talk about numbers before. And so they got a butt out of our lives, and they've got to at least be consistent on it. Oh, let me actually add one last thing, okay, guys. So I don't begrudge anyone who thinks that it is a life form. By the way, I used to believe that, okay? And I still believe it is a life form, but I don't think it's an independent life form. And so I think it's, and that's what got me to change my mind about abortion a long time ago, decades ago. Because after giving it some thought, I realized, look, if it's an independent life form, of course we protect it. Mm-hmm. And that is why in Roe versus Wade, after 24 weeks, we believe it's viable outside the womb. And so we protect it as an independent life form. That makes sense. But until then, it is dependent. Even if you think it's a life form, it is dependent on another life form. And we cannot force, we cannot take people's liberties away and force them to carry it to term when it is not their choice. And if you say, well, I want to do that based on my religion, you're not making a constitutional argument, you're not making a legal argument. You're just saying, I wish we lived in a country where I could force you to abide by my beliefs.
Yeah.
So just own up to it and admit who you are and admit that it's an un-American position. It's against liberty, it's against freedom. And it really is, doesn't make any rational sense. Now, if you say, but my belief is, I think it's whether it's an independent life form or not, it's still life, so I'm gonna carry it to term. Great, we have never ever objected to that. But all we're objecting to is you saying, since I believe that, I am going to force you to believe that and to carry that out in your life. And a lot of these folks even say, even in the case of rape or incest, mm-hmm. we're gonna make you carry it to term. When you say my religion dictates that you must have your rapist child, I'm not interested. That's why I live in America and not a country ruled by religion.
We'll be right back. And when we return, Trump had a rally in Florida. So you have two crazy things combined. And of course, crazy things happen.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Some interesting comments here. Porkchop Express, this is all from our member section. Porkchop Express says, conservatives are so pro-life, yet they have no problem taking away someone else's. So that's a common hypocrisy of the right wing. Mm-hmm. Ursa George says, poor children are a way to control women. That's interesting, I hadn't thought of it in that context. Two-bit Jesus writes in, I'm so tired of my state, Alabama, making these anti-choice laws that waste the taxpayers' money with court battles that they always lose. They could put that money to better use by taking care of children who are already born living in poverty and hunger.
Well, they're hoping they're not going to lose the court battles anymore with Kavanaugh and Gorsuch sitting in the Supreme Court now.
Right. And Orthochronicity, please get an easier name to pronounce, says they.
Okay, Cenk Uygur.
Yeah.
Orthochronicity.
Orthochronicity. I live like an orthochronicity every day, Cenk. Okay. Anyway, it's a handle. It's not his actual name, obviously. They also want to try anyone who took part in an out-of-state abortion of a Georgia resident. They could request extradition of doctors under this law.
I guarantee you they're not going to be doing that with the white ladies who are obviously and definitely going to get their abortions out of state.
Yes, yeah. All of the rich white right-wing Republican ladies are going to get their abortions no matter what. Bet your bottom dollar on it, and no one will ever be prosecuted. But oh, they'll find minorities. They are unreal. Anyway, let's keep going.
During a rally in the Florida Panhandle, Donald Trump appeared to not take a statement by a rally goer seriously, and it was an act, or at least I messed that up. Let me start that again, okay? Donald Trump was in the Florida Panhandle and he was specifically talking about migrants and how the United States treats migrants differently than other countries. And then someone in the audience, a rally goer, said something that seemed to promote an act of violence. Take a look.
You have two or three border security people that are brave and great. And don't forget, we don't let them and we can't let them use weapons. We can't. Other countries do. We can't. I would never do that. But how do you stop these people? You can't. There's no. That's only in the Panhandle you can get away with that statement. Only in the Panhandle.
Oh, yeah. Of course, some guy in the crowd said, shoot them. And he's like, only in the Panhandle can you talk about murdering innocent people. And they're like, yes, yes, in the Panhandle we murder innocent people. We're proud Republicans.
Well, it seemed like there were some people in the crowd that maybe disapproved of what was going on. And so we have a little bit of a close up. I want to quickly watch that.
You can't. There's no. That's only in the Panhandle you can get away with that statement.
Yeah, yeah. Seems like you have a conscience. Get out of that room immediately.
Right? I think they made a movie for you called Get Out. Okay. So, look, I like that there was somebody in the crowd with a tiny bit of conscience, like, oh, we're gonna start murdering the immigrants. But the rest are like, yeah, yoo-hoo.
So he was specifically talking about migrants who have legal protections in the United States, because look, if you are seeking asylum, as we've talked about before, we do have a legal process for that. And Trump hates that process, hates it. He hates the fact that they get their day before a judge and they get to make their case. He doesn't want to deal with it. And so again, he's making his case against these legal processes. And I just want to note that this is in Florida, where there's a giant population of Cubans and Cuban Americans whose family members or even they themselves came into the United States and were given amnesty. They were given amnesty because they were fleeing, you know, a communist regime under Fidel Castro. So I find it so interesting because there are so many different groups of people in the country, whether it's the rich who got to take advantage of all these public programs that lifted them from poverty, or Cubans who took advantage of amnesty to flee a situation in their country that was, you know, not to their liking. And then they closed the door right behind them, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, let's support the president who thinks it's funny when someone at a rally says to shoot migrants as they try to come into the country. Let's support that guy.
See,
congratulations.
On the other hand, we are not at all hypocritical. I understand why Cubans were fleeing. They were worried about their life and liberty. But so are the people in Central America. So, oh yeah, but our life and liberty was endangered by a guy that the United States doesn't like. Whereas their lives and liberty is endangered by people, generally speaking, that the United States does like. So who cares?
Okay, so so the Trump administration doesn't like Maduro in Venezuela and they want regime change. They're pushing for regime change in Venezuela. So quick question, if there's a complete crisis in Venezuela as a result of America pushing for regime change and pursuing military action, are we going to accept Venezuelans into the country as refugees? Remember, the right wing is arguing that it's because Maduro is a socialist and that's the reason why people want to leave, right? Of course, they don't care.
Yeah, no, let's do it right now. amnesty for anyone leaving Venezuela. You guys agree? I mean, it's the same situation as Cuba, right? You guys are saying they're both communist, socialist, terrible, created a horrible situation in their country. So a couple of million people arguably have left Venezuela. Should we bring them in? All of a sudden, the guys in the panhandle are like, wait. Hey, what happened? I thought you wanted a regime change. I thought you wanted amnesty for people fleeing socialism and communism. Oh, all of a sudden, when they're now this new wave of brown people. Okay, that's what I thought.
And remember, we had this great story by Ken Klippenstein at TYT Investigates. We covered it earlier this week. And if you think people aren't really considering shooting migrants at the border, just consider the fact that there's that militia, the United Constitutional Patriots. And one of their members was reported to the police. His name is Armando Gonzalez, because he was quoted as saying, "Why are we just apprehending them and not lining them up and shooting them?" He was also quoted as saying, "We have to go back to Hitler days and put them all in a gas chamber.
So we broke that story a couple of days ago. And now somebody at a rally says, yeah, shoot them. And then the president jokes around about it. And then you wonder why people get encouraged. And this guy in Ken's story, you can read it on TYT.com, grabbed an AR-15. And told others to grab their guns when they spotted people crossing the border, or what he thought were people crossing the border. And he said, let's go, why don't we go shoot them? Now, to be fair to the other guys, and you can see it in Ken's story, they're like, no, let's not shoot them. And one of them actually had a conscience, like that woman in the rally, and went to the police and said, you gotta watch out for this guy. He's talking about gas chambers and indiscriminately shooting people. So I appreciate that he did that. That group was so embarrassed by this story, among others, but really predominantly this story. Right after the story came out, when they were asked about it, they changed their name. They changed the whole name of the group.
What?
Yes.
So what are they now?
I think they're the Guardian Patriots now.
Yeah, you gotta have the Patriots in there, right?
Yeah, of course. So, but Ken Klippenstein, wonderful job. But also, if you're a Young Turks viewer who contributed to our investigative reporting team, that was you guys. Wonderful reporting to see how dangerous these militias actually are. He got it. These are government documents that he got through a Freedom of Information request. So, and it's not just like some random dude in the middle of the desert with his crazy ideas. There's a crazy guy on the radio saying similar things. They are driving people to a very dangerous situation. So I want to go to video 8. That's Glenn Beck.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
And he's going to say something that is arguably even more dangerous than what Trump did in laughing at that so-called joke. Here, let's watch.
We are headed towards a time when you will see massive rushes. I think I've been saying this since I was in Israel. Massive rushes across our southern border. It will get to the point where people will be killing farmers for food, and then it will turn into killing farmers for the land, and they'll say, this is my land. You stole it from us centuries ago.
So, and he went on to talk about how the police in those border towns, their lives are going to be in danger. He's egging people on, saying they're going to kill you, they're going to kill the farmers, they're going to kill you for food, and then they're going to take your land. And all of this with a very clear, implicit, aren't you going to do anything about it?
Well, I want to know how many Border Patrol agents have died as a result of migrants during the Trump administration, and how many migrants have died in Border Patrol custody under the Trump administration. Because I know that there have been at least two minors and one adult who have died in Border Patrol custody. So you want to talk about people dying, let's talk about the numbers, the actual numbers.
So, of course, there have been no Border Patrol agents who have died, and there have been no farmers who have been killed for food or their land. So, but what it does is it creates an environment where people go to a presidential rally and say, let's shoot them. And when they go and join a militia and talk about bringing back the Hitler days. And Glenn Beck eggs that on, and Donald Trump eggs that on. Look, they're playing with fire, men. I'm now deeply worried that one of these guys is going to fly off the handle or the panhandle. But kidding aside, it's a serious situation, and they're going to start. When we have the deaths, people are going to say, "Oh my God, no one could have seen this coming." No, we can see it coming now, because the more you egg on unstable people, somebody's going to go shoot someone or a lot of people, and then they'll turn around and go, "There's nothing we can do. Nobody could have seen it coming. Plus, you can't touch the guns. You can't touch anybody who egged them on. You can't do anything about anything at all. And we're going to keep on doing this."
And I just want to note that this type of talking point is not unique to the United States. I mean, this type of fascism is certainly happening in South Africa right now. It's a right-wing talking point regarding immigrants coming in and murdering and stealing land and going after farmers. You're seeing it in South Africa. So we're seeing a global, worldwide shift toward right-wing authoritarianism, toward right-wing fascism, and we can't let it happen. We have to fight back against it. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make here in the United States is just assuming that our constitution and our so-called democracy is strong enough to save us at the end of the day. And that is just not the case. You have to fight and defend, you know, people's rights and democracy all the time, because it's fragile, and we're seeing that right now.
Yeah, in South Africa, they mainly blame, you're going to be shocked at this, the blacks,
right,
for going and killing farmers. And that story was debunked, but Tucker Carlson ran it anyway. Donald Trump talked about it anyway, because it helps them with their ideology of blame the brown and black people. It's all their fault, and they're going to come for what is rightfully ours. And that's emphasized, rightfully ours. Really, the white people in South Africa took that land rightfully, etc. But look, nobody's going to relitigate that. That's only happening in their fantasies, because in Glenn Beck's mind and Donald Trump's mind is, if we could take their land for food and just claim it as our own, we would do it. Our ancestors did do it. We'd be happy to do it again. So we assume that they're going to do the same thing to us. It's not remotely true.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Emma interviewed Daryl Issa, and he got super salty, and I loved it. You're going to love it too. Come right back.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. All right, back on a Young Turks. Read members' comments first as usual. tyt.com/join to become a member. Nicolette says, we need to have a Facebook page dedicated to the unsung heroes of Trump rallies, full of still shots of people in the crowd with the correct reactions of terrible things. I like that idea. Somebody make that happen. JSB says, that militia needs to be stopped and put in jail. The Second Amendment clearly states a well-regulated militia. That's a great point. These militias are clearly not well regulated. So Halia writes in, they don't want to deal with another Mexican country's refugees. That's true. There are all those Mexican countries, and we can't be dealing with all their refugees. Cheryl says, a pro-life Republican recommending shooting refugees. Wow. Right? Doesn't quite seem pro-life. Dare Machina on Twitter says, we got to go back to the Hitler days. Did this guy protect the American border not learn that we fought against the Nazis in the Hitler days? Great point. If we go back to the Hitler days, we'd be killing the fascists. Be careful what you wish for. Okay, I'm not in favor of that. I'm just saying. Okay, mm-hmm. Photog Mike says, Republicans passing these anti-abortion laws because they believe in life begins at detection, that's an interesting way of putting it, of the first heartbeat, then the father should pony up support at the same time, paying for 50% of everything, and see how quick minds change. Mm. Okay, by the way, man, Mike, that is an interesting idea. If Democrats propose that amendment to that bill, all of a sudden, all the Brian Kemps, hold up, what do you mean? I gotta pay 50%? Okay, so. Interesting ideas coming from our audience. YouTube Super Chat's a great way to help the show. So is tyt.com/yes. If you're on tyt.com, you'll see a a little button to in the, next to the comment section, but anybody can just type in that URL and it really, really helps the show, tyt.com/yes. Thank you.
So Cenk, I have to ask you a question. Aren't you sick of banks, like big banks, taking your money? And then like, let's say you, there's deposits, right? You give them money because they put it in a savings account and then they take it and they put it in the fossil fuel industry.
Right? Sick of it.
They invest it in like industries that you don't like.
No,
that you
don't
agree
like
with, that you speak out against. Wouldn't it be great if we had a financial institution that refused to do that?
I know, but we don't have one like that, Anna, do we?
No, we do though.
No, get out of here.
We do.
No
we
way.
Found one. It's called Aspiration. I love Aspiration because not only is it ethical and refuses to invest money in these questionable industries, they also they give you money for putting money in their savings account. Like they pay you 2% interest. Like that's insane because these big banks don't even do that. They'll charge you like, or they'll give you 0.0003 interest, which is nothing.
Yeah. So aspiration.com/TYT. You don't have to put all your money in there. If you do, great.
I think you should.
But you could put a little bit of a test.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Listen, like, really? Am I really going to get 100 times better rate than the other guys? And no ATM fees, et cetera. You guys have heard us talk about it before, but in all seriousness, it's a great alternative for you guys. And just test it. Go ask your bank for what kind of interest rate you can get with them, what the fees are, what the ATM fees are. Then go look at Aspirations. And my guess is that you'll see. It's a win-win. Clean conscious, clean money, and you get much better rates. Aspiration.com/TYT. Okay.
TYT reporter Emma Vigeland was at the SALT conference in Las Vegas, and she got an opportunity to speak to former Representative Daryl Issa. And what's hilarious about this story is it's the SALT conference, and it appears that Daryl Issa got real salty during this interview. Take a look.
Within the first month or two of President Trump's time in office, he authorized a strike in Yemen that killed an 8-year-old American girl. So that's not necessarily protecting American lives. We didn't have any, no one looked into that. There were no investigations like we saw with Benghazi. Where do you draw that?
Look, I appreciate your premise, and you have a right to be wrong. And in this case, you're wrong. President Obama fired more drones, fired more weapons against targets that included women and children, and in some cases Americans, than his predecessor.
I agree, and Trump has already surpassed the number of civilian deaths in Syria and Iraq than Obama did in his entire presidency.
You know, you can always look at your numbers.
Okay.
You can always look at your numbers. What a great quote.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Emma has looked at her numbers and she's absolutely right. And I'm going to give you some of those numbers in a minute. But first, let me just note that Daryl Issa was a giant war hawk, warmonger. And part of the reason why is because his biggest donors came from the defense industry. So for instance, Issa received $447,820 from defense contractors between 1997 and 2018. So he loves war, he'll always defend war. He does not care about the drone strikes, he does not care about the civilian deaths. Yes, he will try to politicize it to the advantage of Republicans if there's a Democrat in office. But the reality is, I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. Our actions abroad and the deaths of civilians has been disastrous. And what Emma was trying to get at was, hey, yeah, Obama had his flaws, 100%. But there are issues with Trump and you need to own up to them, and he refused to do that.
But actually, that was the second point she made. The first point was a really interesting question, and I think he missed the point of it because he went into his partisan bunker right away. Emma said Obama killed civilians with his drone strikes. So she's criticizing Obama there, as we have done on the show. And she said, but you didn't investigate that, including the killing of American civilians. Mm-hmm. Instead, you investigated Benghazi. So really interesting question. Why not? And she's not even implying you shouldn't have investigated Benghazi. What she's saying is, when Obama killed American civilians in those drone strikes, why didn't you investigate that? So she didn't ask about Trump in the beginning. But he went to like, oh yeah, Obama's really bad. But that's what Emma said. Not really bad, but saying, right. Look, isn't that interesting? And think about that, guys. Because you can tell from ISIS's reaction, and we got more of it, no fan of Obama at all, right? And now making up numbers, trying to pretend that Trump is better. Trump has actually killed more civilians. But Obama did kill several Americans in those drone strikes, and that's important. But guys like ISIS, who hate Obama, totally ignored it. Mm-hmm. Why did they ignore that when they could have been a big issue? Because the reality is they don't mind the drone strikes for the reasons that Anna gave to you. Check the numbers, as ISIS would say. Mm-hmm. And the numbers show it's legalized bribery. And they all make money off of those wars and conflicts. And that's how ISIS stayed in office for so long.
So let's watch a little more from the interview.
President Obama inherited wars that were coming to an end, but he made a decision to withdraw completely, allowed them to foment, allowed Syria to fall into other hands. And he didn't do it because he's a bad person. He did it because his interpretation of what was to be done turned out to be wrong. We could have similar discussions about George W. Bush.
What about Trump killing all of those civilians in Syria and Afghanistan?
Well, first of all, that's your statement. In a war in which almost nobody wears uniforms, but they kill each other, a discussion of what a civilian is very different.
Okay, no, a civilian is a civilian.
That was amazing.
Right. And by the way, there are groups that track this, and our own military tracks this, and he talked about it in other parts of the interview. And by the way, we'll put the link down below if you're watching this later on YouTube or Facebook. To the full interview, please check it out, because he said he was in the room as they would see, and that the military would make a big effort to avoid civilians, but sometimes they couldn't, and so they would kill the civilians along with their targets. So apparently, even from incredibly far away from a satellite, you could distinguish who the civilians were, but you chose to kill them anyway. And again, the needless partisan bunker there, Emma began by saying Obama did the wrong thing as well in killing civilians. Right. But he goes back to, no, Obama, basically he said he created a wrong situation in Syria that made it worse. In other words, Obama was withdrawing in ISIS's opinion, and we needed more war, not less war. So he doesn't blame Obama for killing civilians, he blames him for not killing enough civilians.
So let's get to the final part of this interview, which I would argue is the most combative and most interesting to watch.
I think you have to take the politics out of it. And for those of us, Republicans and Democrats, and you could talk to Jane Harman or any of the other people that I serve with on the Intelligence Committee, those are hard decisions. And those decisions are not made by the president. They're made by men and women who are trying to get the bad guys and not kill innocents. Thank you.
We can agree to disagree, but thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
We don't have to agree to disagree. Those are all facts.
I mean, I would also say that restraint is lacking deeply in the United States government.
You did go to a liberal college.
I did. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow.
So I'm going to give you some context in that, about that comment in a second and what he said afterwards. And those are awesome. Okay. But she ended it cordially. She said, thank you.
She's amazing.
And we could agree to disagree on some of these issues. And he said, no. My opinion are facts. And she said, well, I think we could show more restraint in killing civilians. That's an opinion. He's like, no. Okay, well, you went to a liberal college where they taught you not to kill civilians. Liberal. Well, then I guess everybody should go to liberal colleges, because killing civilians is pretty, it's so bad that I'm pretty sure we've invaded countries over them killing our civilians. Oh, when do you do it to us? It is horrific.
horrific. And every time you talk about it, you must say it's monstrous, horrible. If you even use any neutral terms, we'll claim that you're in favor of killing civilians. Oh, when we kill their civilians, you went to a liberal college, didn't you? So yeah. In the beginning, before they began the interview, apparently, Issa asked her where she went to college, but not in like a friendly, cordial way.
Like a confrontational way?
Like, hey, where'd you go to college? And she was like kind of out of the blue, like what, right? And she just said a liberal arts college. And so, remember that confrontation with John Kerry and the Republican congressman, mm-hmm. where he was like, oh, so you studied political science. That sounds like a fake science. Right? So I don't know why he asked that in the beginning. And then he went back to, maybe it was because he wanted to set that up. Like, ha ha, liberal colleges lead to not killing civilians, losers, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, Stephen Moore, the guy who was appointed to the Federal Reserve by Donald Trump, he wanted him to have that position, recently withdrew because he was, of course, part of a three-ring circus. And he apparently went to even the Republican senators and squeezed water out of his lapel, the flower on his lapel into their eyes. And so they're like, no, this guy's a clown. So he withdrew. Anyway, Stephen Moore was supposed to come on next with Emma, which would have been awesome. And apparently Issa told him, no, don't go into that lion's den.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much.
Look, that's what's great about Emma. She's actually incredibly polite. Just sit down, have a normal conversation. Nothing wrong with disagreeing. And we do the same thing here. I've had 1,000 people on. In fact, conservatives, a lot of them, with the exception of David Duke, say that they get the best, fairest hearing at the Young Turks, because we actually have a long enough conversation for you to make your point and for the audience to get a sense of where you stand and where we stand.
But they're so used to reporters playing patty cakes with them. They're not used to reporters who actually know what they're talking about and who are at least willing to ask these questions. And so I actually wanted to look into drone strike numbers, because for a long time, and I bought into this as well, there was this belief that Obama was much more aggressive with drone strikes as opposed to Donald Trump. And to be fair, Obama expanded the Bush foreign policies and also did do a lot of drone strikes. But Trump has not been a dove. I mean, Trump has been terrible when it comes to drone strikes. I want to give you those numbers. So let's compare Obama first. So in 2009 and 2010, so first 2 years in office, Obama launched 186 drone strikes on Yemen, Somalia, and especially Pakistan. Now, if you look at the first 2 years under Trump, 2017 and 2018, Trump launched 238 drone strikes there. Right, in the same countries.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's not dramatically more. It's just more than Obama.
Right, exactly. And also, the Air Force budget documents show a 63% increase in Hellfire purchases in Trump's 2017 budget, and another 20% increase in the most recent budget request. This is a piece that was written in the Daily Beast in 2018. So just understand that it's a little dated, but it gives you some insight into how much the spending has increased when it comes to these Hellfire purchases and how much the drone strikes increased under Trump as well.
I love about this, there's so many great parts to it, is that Emma now has a new nickname. Or maybe, I guess, Rebel HQ does, mm-hmm. The Lion's Den.
I like it.
Okay, so if you like that, you'll love what's going on in Rebel HQ. They cover all of the progressive news. So go to facebook.com/RebelHQ or youtube.com/RebelHQ. You'll get more of Emma's videos, more of her interviews, but also progressive events, rallies, and hearings as well. So definitely check that out. Go to the Lion's Den now.
All right, when we come back, we are going to discuss one of the more recent school shootings that happened in Colorado. And later, we will also talk about the co-founder of Facebook pushing for Facebook to be broken up.
Yeah, that's controversial. All right, we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.